And welcome to, I guess we're going to call it the inaugural show of the Sports Vagabonds. It's MP and Jeremy Long. We're back. Oh, man. How are you feeling, dude?
Man, you know, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited, you know, taking a little time off, just being sports fans, just, you know, getting our rhythm together and things like that. And, you know, feel the call once again to you know, share our knowledge. Humor, our good looks, which is why we're on radio, with the world. And so, you know, we're excited. We're here at one of our favorite bars in all of Las Vegas, the Great American Pub, and a couple of locations here in town. So really great guys in general, but great sports guys. It's a great place to watch sports. In fact, we may or may not frequent this establishment.
The camera's working?
After 5, of course. Yes. That's when we do things. But yeah, man, I'm excited.
No, I am. And, you know, Great American Pub, guys, it's two locations. We're over here. Grand Canyon, right off of Flamingo. The owners, Chris, John, they treat us well. They treat everybody well here. They treat their customers so good that they got something special going on here today. Jeremy, know about it?
Yeah, man. You know, I do know about it, and it's something really, really, like you said, special. And they're doing it just private for their friends and family and employees here at GAP. Right now, Mike and I are sitting in a room full of jerseys and baseball bats and other giveaways and everything for that are going to be signed here very shortly. In about half an hour, the signing begins for a MVP winner and a World Series winner, Mr. Chris Bryant.
And a local homeboy.
Yeah, local guy from Vegas, local kid, done good, baby.
Yeah, he did. He's on the come up.
Yeah, so, he knows something about winning, so it's good.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. Like you said, it's just a room full of memorabilia. We just met his agent, which he looked like he was 12. So I always made some wrong turns in my life. If all I had to do, I just had to find someone who could play baseball and I could be a sports agent.
There you go.
But, no, it's going to be great times, and you guys can look forward to hearing these sports blogs every week and us bringing it back with some flame.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and you know what? That only brings me to something we haven't done in a long time.
Oh, what is that?
That's Barbershop Chop.
Barbershop Chop.
And that's brought to us by the Great American Pub, our favorite drinking place.
Yeah, there you go.
So first thing you want to chop up on, man, and this guy has been driving me batty for the last 20 years. Urban Meyer is retiring after 7 seasons at Ohio State, and the offensive coordinator, Ryan Day, is going to be taking over the program. Now, you know, timing is everything. I think that's what they say in life. Timing is everything. And when you look at Urban Meyer and just the things that he does, has done in the last 20 years of football, you just kind of wonder what his legacy is going to look like or sound like when all the dust settles.
Yeah, man. And the dust, I guess, apparently is settling. I mean, he said he doesn't see himself coaching again. But he's also said that before he took the Ohio State job. He had some health problems. Nothing funny about that, man. But his legacy is one of just unbridled success. He and Nick Saban are the only two coaches in the modern era who win championships with two different teams.
Right.
And, you know, every year, no matter if it was down south or if it was in at the Ohio State University, they were always contenders. They were always in the mix, even down to the wire for championships and in the title games and losing a couple and everything. But every year, it's kind of like Alabama. They didn't reset. They reloaded.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take a different spin on this one. I think there's going to be those moments where people are going to look at him and they're going to judge him. They're going to judge him on the Aaron Hernandez situations, you know, keeping a player on his team who he knew had a bad situation going, coming into Florida, and obviously with him going to the Patriots and doing the things he did, two double murders. You know, and then you look at the scenario with his assistant coach over at Ohio State. You know, it's just those little small things. And I'm not saying that he was an overstepper. You know, we used that line the other day. Yeah. Urban Meyer is a damn overstepper. And I think in these some moments, people are going to like, yeah, Urban, maybe you should have drawn back and put a little bit more compassion in some of the things you did versus trying to be Spin City. And, you know, I don't know. I think that could be his backlash. Yes, he's done some great things as far as the it's concerned, you know, at Ohio State. I'm glad he's leaving. Hell, you know, 7 years, Michigan has not beaten Ohio State. How crazy is that, dude? 7 years, three coaches. No, excuse me, four coaches.
Yeah.
Four coaches have not beaten Urban Meyer from the University of Michigan. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays off, because I can only imagine if the new coach comes in and Harbaugh can't beat him next year, Urban Meyer won't be the only one that's gone.
Yeah, and that, you know, it brings up kind of an interesting point. Like, how much of this, how much can we expect coaches to be? You know, I mean, their coaches, their number one priority is winning games. But, you know, at what cost, you know, and at what level do we go, okay, well, now you have to be the moral police and you have to, you know, I mean, yes, Aaron Hernandez, but can Urban Meyer really be held accountable for what he did years after the fact? You know, the double murder thing, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. Yes, his name will always be brought up. Yes, he'll always have a tie to it. And, of course, with the assistant coach who, you know, allegedly, you know, struck his wife and the domestic violence things and how he handled that. He handled that like a jackass. Absolutely.
Why are you complimenting him like that?
Yeah. Right. You know, I could use stronger words, but this, you know, I don't want the marking on of our on our feed and everything. But, you know, I mean, yes, he's going to be judged by two different standards. Is he the best human being in the world? Absolutely not. Is he probably one of the greatest college coaches of all time? Absolutely, he is. His wins up there, I think he has 179, 180 wins.
He is the man.
You know, in his career and everything, and all the guys on that list are all, you know, legends in the sport and everything. A lot of names on there. Nick Saban, not a perfect guy. He's had some scandals. Joe Paterno, one of those guys. He had a little bitty scandal years before he died. And, you know, a lot of guys on there. So at what level and at what point does the line blur and, you know, things like that? That's going to be decided. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's part of his legacy. Love it or hate it. But was he a good football coach? Yeah.
All right. Urban Meyer or Nick Saban? Who do you think is the greatest coach?
College?
Definitely in college. I mean, because if you look at it, you know, you would obviously want to say Nick Saban because of all the wins, and winning is everything. But if you look at the way these two teams are set up, yes, Ohio State has some pro players, but not like Alabama. You know, we know what Alabama, you know, the fourth person on the fourth linebacker on Alabama is a five-star athlete. And, you know, with Ohio State, I'm not sure they have, you know, there's not that many knives in the kitchen that are that sharp. You know, those so I'm going to give it to Urban Meyer because I think he does more with less. He's like, well, yeah, because he has five All-Americans on his team.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Man, I think it's neck and neck, and I think it's what you value most in a coach, which would put your candidate over the top. Both of them, you know, of course, can win. They have multiple championships. Nick Saban, though. Geez, I mean, if you're just going by championships,
he's
in the mix every single year, you got to go with Saban. If you got to go with, maybe a Heisman look or something like that, I would have to sit down and look at those numbers. But to me, if I had a choice, I'd probably go with Nick Saban.
Okay.
I would probably go with Nick Saban.
All right. You know what? I can see that. But like I said, I'm liking what Urban Meyer's done and the fact that he came from Utah. You know, which obviously my strong connection with Salt Lake, that he took that team and he did some great things with it, which led to his job at Florida. You know, he was that guy. You know, he was that guy. Hey, we're doing a little barbershop shop brought to us by our good friends at Great American Pub. We're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to talk about a coach leaving, but not under his own fruition. We're going to talk about my man Mike McCarthy and of the Green Bay Packers. He got released on Monday. No, Sunday night.
Yeah. Right after the game.
Right after the game, he couldn't even go pack his stuff.
No, you know? They were like, we're going to mail you your stuff.
Yeah.
Just go home.
Yeah, so. At least it wasn't on the tarmac.
Exactly. At least there it was a home game.
Yeah, right.
You know, and he didn't get fired on the bus and then have to sit there for 4 hours.
God, talk about it. But you know what? The question is, was it the right thing to do from a firing standpoint? And I think everyone's going to say it was probably time.
Yeah, I mean, probably a little over the limit there. Green Bay was very gracious.
No, they expired a while ago.
Yeah, you know, a couple years ago, they had high expectations. Injuries hit. You lose Aaron Rodgers to begin with. And so they kind of gave him a pass the last couple of seasons. But this season, they were supposed to be that team, that, you know, Super Bowl contender. And then it just kind of blew up, and it looks like he just lost the locker room. When you have a coach like that, especially in the middle of the season, you lose the locker room. you know, the Packers are 98 years old, almost 99 years old as a franchise. They have never fired a coach mid-season, but they had to make a change. That tells me that they haven't given up on the season. You still have Aaron Rodgers back there. He's still one of the greatest of all time. But I don't think that's the only cause of the Packers' downfall, and I don't think it's really going to right the ship in time. I still don't see them making the playoffs, or if they do, they're going to be one and done.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, it's one of those years where, you know, we're still looking at situations where teams with five wins are looking to get in on that wild card playoff, so they're definitely still in contention. But no, you definitely hit the nail on the head with this one. It's a bigger picture, you know, just other than the coach just going. You know, there's obviously something going on with, I'm going to say Brett Favre, with Aaron Rodgers. You know, just looking at him,
shadow of Brett.
Yeah, he stepped right in there. But I don't think it's just going to be fixed. It's the team. You know, they don't have the players.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the players, and it's so easy to overlook some of the flaws that the team had was because of Aaron Rodgers. You know, they expect him to go put a band-aid on everything that he's doing out there. And, you know, that it's just gotten old. And I'm kind of mad about it because, as all you guys know, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. And the fact that all my teams finally are beating some of their rivals, it wasn't because my teams got better. It's because the other teams have gotten worse. So, and I say that with Green
Bay.
They're
finally playing down to that level, yeah.
So, yeah, the Lions finally beat them. And I go, oh, yeah, when they're bad.
Yeah.
But I say that to say, so there's dysfunction everywhere in that organization.
It really
they
is.
Need to get the players. I think there needs to be some accountability on the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gave him this $33 million contract.
Hey, the general manager, that's why he fired the coach. Because he's like, hey, my butt is on the line here. My job is on the line here. And I like being a millionaire. So I got to get rid of somebody. Ain't going to be me. Not by choice, anyway. You're below me. You're one rung below me. You're going to catch all the heat.
He caught the wrong heat.
Yeah, it sounds like a business I know.
You know, oh, shoot. Barbershop Chop brought to us by the Great American Pub. You think McCarthy's going to work next year, or you think he's going to take some time off?
I think somebody will take a swing on it. Yeah, they recycle these coaches. He probably won't be a head coach, so he'll probably be a coordinator or something like that. But you know what? Mike McCarthy, even though he's a very callous guy, I think he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, just how he approaches stuff. You know, he's kind of like that Sean Payton or Bill Belichick. They just kind of got these attitudes about him. About, you know.
Well, you win a ring, I think that happens.
You know, you're a football coach. There are worse jobs in the world, but you act like a jerk all the time. Well, kind of one of those things. Anyway, whatever, man. That's for a different episode. But I think if not, he'll be an analyst somewhere for a season or two, and then he'll be back into it. And somebody, some desperate team somewhere, maybe the Lions, they'll be on a different coach by then. Hey, you know what? We need a savior. Bring in Mike McCarthy. He's not awful at
all.
He has a ring.
You know the Lions, though, so I guess I really can't push back on that one.
Now.
All right, you're listening to the Sports Vagabonds, MPJ Long. Man. You know what? There are a lot of things that have happened in sports. And what we're going to talk about now is the five things that you may have missed.
Five things you may have missed.
In the number one thing, which I am so proud about, they came into the season ranked number 18. Now my beloved University of Michigan basketball team is number 5 in the country. And Jeremy, I'm going to let you know, this is probably one of the hottest teams that I've seen in a while, Michigan or any other basketball team out there who didn't have 7 McDonald's All-Americans right behind them. Beeline has taken probably two-thirds of the team that he had last year, brought them back. When you saw the team after they played the national championship last year, you really didn't know where they're going to be. Yes, they had some talent. Yes, they went to the national championship. But you kind of assumed the cupboard was going to be kind of bare, henceforth the number 18 ranking, and it's been nothing but that. They have went in on an average of 17-point wins over teams that are nationally ranked. They had the rematch with Villanova. They blew them out the water, out the gate. They had a game against your North Carolina Tar Heels. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah,
that happened.
That was ugly.
They was just like a seal beating. You know, they just...
a seal beating.
I know.
But have PETA after it.
I know, they're really going to come after. And then they put the hammer on Purdue, number 19 Purdue the other day, and it's just the way that they're handling. You know, they have John Chesky out there, who I'm calling Baby Lambeer. You know, can't jump 7 inches off the floor, but his big body, you know, his confidence is building daily. I just like what I'm seeing. I just like what I'm seeing with the team.
Yeah, after that championship game last year, they seemed to come, on the offseason, they looked like they did a lot of work on the fundamentals. And they have a different mentality. I think great teams, and they always mention the Fab Five and stuff like that in Michigan's history. I think great teams, championship teams, I think they have a killer instinct. These guys seem to have that. At times they lacked it last year. You see they were blowing out teams that were supposed to blow out, but the ranked opponents they were kind of, matching up against. Maybe they didn't have that attitude. Maybe it's just maturity or something like that. I think they went to the season with a chip on their shoulder. They realized how close they got. They went back. They said, this year we're not letting up off the gas, man. We're going to go for the kill every single time, which is what great teams do. So you see the 17-point wins, things like that. UNC broke my heart, but we found out who they are very, very quickly in Michigan, and they're a team that once, even if they have double digits on you, they're not going to let up. They're going to press on the gas. And beyond injuries to a couple of their key guys for a long period of time or at the wrong time, maybe during the tournament or something like that, I see this team. It's got to be, them and Gonzaga, and of course, Duke is still making some noise and stuff like
that.
But they got to be a favorite to beat at least in the Final Four. And I'm seeing if they keep playing this way, I'm saying another championship run.
It has to be there. And, the team is solid from this point. I'm loving what they're doing. Michigan State's right up there as well. Always got to give them some love. But let's go Blue, see what they can pull off.
Yep.
All right. Now, if you didn't know, and I think we're going to go with 90% of America doesn't know this, that Seattle just got a new expansion. Yeah, no, not a basketball team, a hockey team. That's right. They're going to be playing hockey in Seattle. I love it, especially with the things that have happened here in Las Vegas. We know the energy that the Vegas Knights brought this city.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that the people of Seattle are just going to be just as excited, because it's going to be professional sports. Yes, they have the Mariners. Yes, they have the Seahawks. But, now they're going to get another level of sports. And I think they're a sports team, a sports town, and they really deserve it.
Yeah, that's a great sports town, like you said. They kind of got spoiled with the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl era, the Legion of Boom for the Seahawks. And, of course, the baseball team was good a couple of decades ago, I think, back when Ken Griffey was still around, Randy Johnson, those guys. But, they seem to be a good sports city, which is always very important, especially for, things like hockey and soccer and things like that. And I think they have a soccer team. And it causes shifts here, too, because we get another, at least geographically, another rival that's going to be frequently, coming through here. And a lot of people will in Vegas or from Seattle or go to Seattle all the time. You're also going to see the Arizona Coyotes shift over to the Central Division. They're moving out of ours, going to the Central, and that's not going to happen until 2021 season or so, or 21 or 22, they move over to Central. So some different things like that. So we're kind of gaining a rival, losing a rival, but, the Coyotes will still be there for us to pick on and things like that. But I think it's really good for hockey. You always like to see a league expanding to, to that cities that are hungry, that have the fan base that are hungry for the sport and everything. So good for them. Hopefully the fans, if you're a fantasy editor, get out there, support your team, buy the merchandise, spend money on the overpriced stuff. Everyone put a sticker on your car, rah-rah for the home team, all that good stuff.
Man, Chicago. Yeah, Chicago Bulls. They still have a basketball team. Who knew?
Yeah, it's weird.
Jimmy
Butler didn't take it with him?
Yeah, no, you thought he would have. So
sold it for a ham sandwich.
This is five things that you may have missed. One of the other things you may have missed, number three, Fred Hoiberg, former coach of the Chicago Bulls, was fired yesterday. And the biggest question is, was it Hoiberg's fault, a little bit of the player's fault, or did general managers not give him just a team that was worth any damn thing?
You got to have a fall guy, man. At the end of the day, if they're having success, you see it's because they have a star. If they're not having success, it's because the coach can't coach right. Chicago's been in turmoil for years, man. The whole Jimmy Butler debacle, they move him to Minnesota and he does his thing over there and everything. But even with Jimmy Butler, they were kind of a middle of the road team. They had a couple of seasons where they peaked and were playoff form and stuff like that. But you know, people want to say they fell off since MJ, of course. I mean, there's only one Michael Jordan, and so, I mean, you can't replace him. So that shadow he casts is very long, man. You know, it's very long. And even from the 90s, man, you know, people still harken back. It's kind of like this city, harking it back with UNLV and the championship team from 1991 or whatever it was. You know, they always bring it up, you know. They got to figure out who they are, and they need stability. They need front office stability. They need coaching stability, and they need some playmakers again. So, you know, they've had some bad drafts. They whiffed on a couple of guys. You know, they need to find their star and build around it very quickly. You know, they can't – I don't think a city like Chicago will stand a long, lengthy rebuild, especially after so much time kind of on the fringe and everything. They got to get to it. They got to get to it fast, man. But you go – you got to have a good coach or a decent coach, and you got to have a superstar. Right now they have neither.
Well, I think the person that's going to be on the clock is John Paxson, the general manager.
Yeah.
And because let's keep it real, just looking at what he's assembled, other than those, like you said, that run where they had D. Rose, he won his MVP. Tibbs was the coach then. You know, they had Joakim Noah, so they were, you know, they were formidable then.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was that, a three or four year run?
Yeah.
And other than that, like you said, since MJ, they have not done much of anything. So it's really going to be interesting to see what they do. I know last night, you know, we were just sitting in one of our favorite establishments, the Great American Pub, talking about this. And it's, I would love to just really see that stat on the impact that a new coach really makes on some teams. Because it happens all the time. Coaches get fired, and then we really kind of – as fans, you know, outside fans, you don't always gauge what happens. Just like the, well, I guess unless you're a Detroit Lions fan. But for the most part, you know, I don't think these changes make a big difference. I'm not saying you don't make a change, but in the long, unless you have someone immediately that you know that you want to have fill that position, I think sometimes you're just swinging in the air at, you know, oh, let's fire the coach and bring someone else in. And, you know, even with the Mike McCarthy, unless you have somebody in mind, and yes, I know what we just talked about, it was time, but I don't know if it's always time. I think sometimes, you know, it's, yeah, hell, it's the players. You know, players got to play.
Yeah.
You know, the coach does not go out there and shoot the shots. He does not, you know, throw the football. So, I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it affects it, and then more importantly, who they bring in next. You know, who's the next big name, yeah, or is it going to be another recycle?
Yeah, yeah. You got to find somebody. Like I said, you got to find your identity as a team, and that goes from the front office down. I mean, you see what Magic did with the Lakers, how the Lakers have always been. They've always been the Showtime Lakers. Well, since at least the 80s, they've been the Showtime Lakers. You know, so, I mean, you bring Magic Johnson in, and Magic Johnson just has this air about him that he's like, I'm gonna will a championship. I'm gonna will a winning team, you know. And you see guys, they want to play in these places, but they want to go somewhere where it's stable and they feel like they can create a career, but also have a little fun and be schmoozed. They are stars. They are divas. They are whatever. They're professional athletes, man. You know, they want to be treated a certain way with respect and things like that. And whatever that entails, you gotta have that. Right now, free agents look at a city like Chicago, and they see the turmoil. They see the front office in shambles. They see firing a coach 20 games into a season, or not even 20 games into a season, or whatever it is, you know, very early in the season. And then, you know, they kind of go, ooh, that's not really stable. You know,
right.
They got to find somebody. You got to bring somebody in to stabilize the ship.
No, they really do. This is five things that you may have missed. And let's stay in the city of L.A. So did you know that L.A. was 16-7?
I honestly did not know that.
Yeah, and it's not the Lakers, folks. It's the Clippers. Mm. The Clippers without DeAndre Jordan, without Chris Paul, without Blake Griffin, they have a winning record or leading their conference right now.
Yeah.
Who knew that Doc Rivers could coach? Who knew it? Who knew it? I've been saying he can coach for the last 10 years.
Absolutely. I was on the same level. I was like, Doc Rivers, really, he's kind of like the Ty Lue, you know, just roll the ball out there and let you guys play. I was wrong. I'm happy to say that. At least right now, at least the sample size we have right now, these first, you know, 30 games or so, or less than 30 games, it looks like he can coach. It looks like he's building something good in L.A. with the Clippers. And weirdly, the Clippers are better than the Lakers right now, you know, even with LeBron James.
Strange.
And it's very strange times in L.A. You know, they got to be loving it, those parasites in L.A. They
got to
love it.
Yeah, they got nothing else to do but spend their money and wait for the ocean to swallow them up. So We're at the Great American Pub, you know, one of our favorite places here in Las Vegas. It's two locations, one right here, Grand Canyon and Flamingo, and the other one on Eastern, right off the 215. Guys, got to make sure and come check our folks out. Great food, great staff, plethora of TVs that you can watch, and you know what, you're going to be guaranteed to have a good time when you leave here. So make sure you check out the Great American Pub. And number five of the five things that you may have missed, if you missed it last night, you missed a good one, and that was the first clip of Captain Marvel, which was shown during Monday Night Football. And, man, you could have heard a pin drop in here like it was a presidential speech about something going to war. People were so engaged. It was so cool, man.
Hey, we have a, you know, we have a mixed crowd that comes here to GAP. You know, older folks, you know, folks our age, younger folks, stuff like that. Everybody was stopped, and they were all focused on the TV, and the sound was up. And, you know, I think we've all kind of been on this journey together. If you're a Marvel fan, if you're a movie fan, you've been on this journey for 10 years. This is the last movie that connects to the other last movie, The Avengers 4. So you want to – everyone's vested. We're all vested in this. Like, we want to see what the hell happens. I'm excited to see it, man. Brie Larson. I love Brie Larson.
Hey, man, she makes 40 look good. I swear. That is the prototypical kind of – you're like, you look like a beautiful housewife who could kick someone's ass.
It don't even matter. She got a five head. You know, I mean, don't even matter. You know,
she got bangs. We can put bangs on
that. Bangs
fix everything.
Captain Marvel looks good, man. I'm going to go watch that.
Yeah, no, I know we were talking about it yesterday, dude. It's so amazing what they've been able to, Marvel has been able to do. Stan Lee, rest in peace, that they have taken something that been reading since I was 8 and 7 years old. So, you know, I'm 30-something, almost 40 years into this, you know, Marvel comic book scene. And now here they are just bringing it up. So it's a good look. Yeah. It is a real good look. All right. I think drum rolls. Is it time?
Yeah, I think it's time. Let's do it.
Let's do some Say What?
Say what? Say what?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Now say what one more damn time.
All right. Hey, first of all, man, Chiefs, you did a great thing in the release of Kareem Hunt. You know, where there's no place for violence against women, against people. And, you know, so we definitely always want to say that. Hopefully Kareem finds his place and he's able to land somewhere and continue with his football, and he can move forward. And with that said, with Say What, Kareem Hunt has been kicked off of Madden 19. They didn't play around.
Come on, man.
They didn't play around.
Well, okay. I guess that's the new.
That's how they get you.
That's how the sponsors and everything else. I don't know. I guess that's okay.
No, but it's just crazy because they're like, no, you're not going to enjoy your likeness on this. So you're never a chief again.
You're not getting any money off of this either.
Yeah.
So
you're out, man.
Okay.
Yeah. They kicked him to the curb.
They kicked him out. Mid-season. They can do that now. Which is crazy. You know, I mean, used to be games were games and. They are, and maybe next year they wouldn't include them or something like that. But yeah, midseason they install an update and boom, Kareem Hunt's gone.
So then it loads into your system. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. While Tristan Thompson was playing the other night against the New York Knicks, Mr. Cavalier was being heckled by a fan, and he just basically flipped him off. I think that's the new trend.
Just flip him off.
Well, you know what? These fans are getting a little too besides themselves.
My man got
a little mouthy. Talked about Patrick Beverly's mother the other day. Oh. Man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Every 10 years, I got to have a malice in the palace. Where the ordinary fans, they think you fight professional athletes, and the professional athletes square up on them and bust their ass.
Yeah. It's like, man, I work out every day.
Every day. I look small on your TV, but I'm not in real life. That's a 6'10". Strong mother.
I'm going to punch you across from the room and still have power on your ass.
And he's screaming Chloe the entire time while he's wailing on your ass. Chloe, baby. Oh, Chloe, baby.
I need you back, girl. I need you back. Oh, man. Okay, then we have Mr. John Bones Jones. He admits that he is not completely sober. I don't know if we're surprised or not by that.
No.
But that he is continually drinking and he smokes pot on the weekend. So he's just a regular person.
Yeah.
Pot's legal.
Yeah.
So, you know, his issue wasn't alcohol and pot, I'm assuming. Yep. But, you know what? Do what you need to do, John Bones Jones. Yeah, I need him fighting. That's all I need.
We need him fighting, man. You know, I think the problem with John is not that, this is normal stuff. I mean, here, pot is legal in Vegas. So, I mean, our friend Jed stopped by last night and he smelled of the bush.
Yes.
He smelled of the green leaves, you know. And, you know, that's it's perfectly fine. But if you're a professional athlete and your job is to get in the cage, I think John's problem is that these things become gateways for him. And when it starts getting into cocaine and it starts getting into the steroid use and it starts getting into the things that have kept him out of the cage the last few years, more frequently than it's allowed him into the cage and doing what he's doing best, that's where the problem is. You know, I'm a fan of John Bones Jones, and I hope he keeps it together. But, you know, at this point, he kind of looks like he has too many people around him that just enable everything he wants. And, yeah, he's one of the best in the world, so he's going to be given a certain, you know, level and a certain leeway. But, man,
that leash is long.
It don't count for nothing if you can't get in the cage and you can't fight, you can't win.
Right. I mean, because the skill set is diminishing on a daily basis here.
Getting older,
getting younger. Yeah.
Father Time is undefeated, John.
And then last of the say whats, Jerry Hughes of the Buffalo Bills was in a game Sunday, and he claims that one of the referees called him a bitch. So versus just taking it and going to the locker room, Mr. Hughes chased down the referee, and he tried to get at him. And it could be heard over the microphone saying, "Dude, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you outside. I'm going to knock him the boop out."
Yeah, right.
First of all, I'm with you, Jerry. Anybody call me a bitch when I'm playing sports, it's like, this is, I think, confusion again. This is where that confusion is like, yo, ref, you're not really part of the athletic set on this field.
These refs these days, the NFL refs, I'm telling you, it's going to happen soon. But you see some of these refs, man, they yoked up, man.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be a pretty good scrap. Nah, not really,
No, it
man.
Wouldn't be. No,
nah,
it wouldn't be.
They 60 and young, man. Oh, really? These are young professional athletes, man. But something's going on with these refs, too. But these refs
they're feeling themselves.
The MLB, the one that just got fired, I forget his last name. The umpire that got fired has been with the MLB for years and years and years because he kept starting crap with the players and stuff like that. And now you got the NFL refs allegedly calling players.
Allegedly. Well, the funnier part about the story
hilarious.
Is that when reporters got to Hughes afterwards, they asked him about the incident. And he said, "What are you talking about?" So that never happened.
No,
show me the tape.
Show me the tape. They're like, okay. In fact, they did show him the tape, and he's like,
"Ah, yeah, I don't know nothing about that."
I didn't say nothing.
I love that. Well, dude, I'm glad we got back on this thing.
We're doing it, man.
We're doing it. It's the Sports Vagabond.
Yeah. We're back here doing our thing, and you can catch us every single week. Brand new episodes every single week. We're doing it again. Half the time we're gonna be here at GAP, and we're gonna find another spot too. The hell, it might be your local library. We're gonna be in there.
We'll be there.
Having fun cutting up.
He and me. Me and him.
Sports Vagabonds MP, Jeremy Long. We'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Peace.